In the penultimate episode of 2022, High Wycombe Director of Rugby Mike Kirby is with us, reflecting on a journey of discovery with match play cards and has been with us from the start, when England rugby legend Lewis Moody first showed them to him. If you want to support more coaches at your club with match play cards like Mike is, be sure to get in touch and we can organise a call to discuss our club packages. On to the podcast.
Kirby.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad.
A bit of an old-timer, in a way. I think there's the Lewis Moody connection with the Mad Dog, which was really early doors for us, which was cool. Yeah. And then Three Coaches Coffee Club. And then, most recently, the Marlow connection. So, yeah, there's kind of three points of contact there. And obviously, you're a local boy to where I'm from as well. So, there's a few connection points. But maybe just share a little bit about where we've come from and where we're heading and, yeah, what's been going on?
Sure. So, I suppose I can't remember. I think the first time we met was the Aylesbury Coffee Club, which I think it was just one of those things where I was so in the middle of coaching and sport development at the time. I just wanted to throw myself at every opportunity. And it being not too far around the corner from where I lived, I was kind of like, oh yeah, interesting, I'll go along. I've been to a few other, I go on coaching courses to meet other people. I'm interested in the delivery of what the sort of coach developer's providing, but actually I'm there to link with other people, find out their experiences. You know, yes, I can understand certain ways of delivering certain skills or tactical focuses from a coach developer, but I'll learn even more from talking to someone who's used it in their environment and getting an understanding of how their players have received that. So yes, the coffee meetup sort of popped up and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go, try it out. Popped along. I think I probably was either one of two or the only rugby coach there. So that was my first experience in a coach development environment where it wasn't all just other rugby coaches. So everything from football to cricket to lacrosse to netball, and then hockey obviously with yourself. So it's just really interesting to link with other people, and then obviously start to discuss the elements of how we use the cards. It was a style of coaching I liked, through challenging and questioning and creating problems to look for solutions, but I didn't have a nice easy way to implement that and facilitate that, and the cards element I liked. It was just really interesting connecting with other people from other sporting backgrounds. I got a job at Mad Dog with Lewis Moody over at their Newbury site, and I think Andy, who's our head coach, reached out to you. We got a set of the cards and we used them in our environment, which we used them quite a lot. It was interesting. We used them all the way up from our academy guys at sixth form, under 17s and 18s, and then we also did some lower school delivery as well, and we used them in there. We tended to sort of work out what different cards would work best in different environments, so there'd be certain cards we might not use with our sixth formers that we would with the younger age groups. I think last time I saw you, actually, I mentioned something that I did in that environment, which was it was the match play challenge cards, and I had one pocket with team challenges and one pocket with individual challenges, because I didn't want to be sort of rifling through them in the middle of the pitch, but I knew that pretty much if I wanted to challenge one person, I could pick out, you know, one or two cards from a pocket and go, right, you're exceeding in this area, I want to challenge you more now. And then have the deck for the guys to pick out of for a team challenge, and each other team try and work out what the other was doing. And yeah, just try and almost sort of create games within games.
No, that's cool. It's definitely, when you told me that in Marlow, it's definitely something I took back. Under with me. Yeah, I have. Just have, you know, team on my left hand in my left pocket and player on my right pocket. And there's almost an element of a lucky dip in a way. And like you said there, of, okay, I'm going to select cards that relate to one, the theme of the session, and then two, the players in that session, which I think are two really important things. There's an element of, okay, I'm just going to pull out whatever's in my pocket and we'll just play. And when I work with other coaches, it's what are the triggers for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where am I going to put a team challenge in? Is it because the team's numbers down, numbers up? Is it because the score's up, down? When am I going to add a player challenge? Is it because the kid on the left-hand side hasn't done anything in 10 minutes, or the big guy on the right-hand side is, you know, ruining everyone's evening because he's touching the ball loads and everyone else is getting cold? And it's just, what are those trigger points? And I guess is the question back to you, what are your trigger points to say, this is what I'm going to add, as why I'm going to add a team challenge, and this is why I'm going to add a player challenge?
Yeah, sure. So I think I'll start with player challenges, and a little bit more consistency and sort of clean cut with that. It, like you say, it would be one of those, can I challenge or support a player in the game who is either exceeding or slightly lagging behind the rest of the group? So I think, yeah, talking sort of different pockets with different types of cards, my player challenge cards would be more, let's look through them, let's look at an appropriate challenge and deliver it to one person. So be it, you know, and it may not be the person who needs the challenge or who needs the support gets the card. Actually, someone else in the group may get the card on behalf of the other person. So you've got to, you know, you've got to pass the ball X number of times. Actually, if I give that to someone else, that other person then gets the ball who's in close proximity to them because they have to pass, therefore they have to give it to that person. And things like that, where actually not only are you giving it to the person that needs the support or the stretch, you can give it to other people to aid that. Team challenges are a bit different. So I don't really think that we had one team sort of overstretch another to want to deliver a whole challenge for a team. So we'd use it in a way that either we'd set a theme for a game. So it would be both teams would get the card, and you know, this is kind of essentially the rules of play, or we had we're core games that we call them. So basically a set, I think it was about four games that had set rules that would come out and go, you are playing this game. So yeah, we'd theme them around different rugby teams. So this, you're playing England or you're playing France, and the players would know. And then we could use the challenge cards to layer on, so they know base level, this is what we're playing. It's just like, you know, almost like layering rules, but because we had concepts for them, you could layer multiple rules at a time, because you go, right, this is our base game, here's a team challenge card, and just trying to sort of work it out within that the element of the meta game of what you're in. So actually, am I aware of the challenge that's in front of me and how I can beat it, as opposed to just what's in front of me? So yes, okay, there may be space on the wing, but are a team defending in a certain way, and is there always space on the opposite side to where the ball is, for example? It's not always on the left, not always on the right, but is there some consistency? So we'd give each team a team challenge card, and they were different for the teams. And one element we'd look at is getting the other team to work out what the challenge was for the other team. And questions we'd deliver in huddles would be like, you know, what are you seeing from them? What are they doing consistently that you think is their way of scoring? And the follow-up question to that is, cool, how are you going to stop it? Or how are you going to use that to your advantage? And getting them thinking more tactically outside of just what was in the game. Because, you know, you put that into a game scenario, right? They're giving it, you know, rugby terms, they're giving it to the big guy to run down the middle every time. How do we change that? We could put our good tacklers in the middle, or we double up on that person, things like that. And it's getting them to be more tactically aware of the opposition and what that means for them. And what that means for their gameplay and how they change.
Yeah, and I think the thing with core games and then adding cards in is the cards are designed in a way that they're not too restrictive. Mm-hmm. So you might use that card and it's going to impact the players in this way in that game. And then you go and do a different game with exactly the same challenge. Mm-hmm. But the process or the journey that a player has to make with their decisions is actually... Mm-hmm. very different, whether that's pitch shape or numbers or mm-hmm. layering the rules above. But can they adapt? Okay, theme game one, this is what we do, and we're using this card. If we go and use that in the same game in a different game, those decisions are then mm-hmm. you know, very different as well, which I always think is really interesting. And the bit you said around there, just giving questions in huddles, I would do the same, and then I'd say, just show me what that looks like, mm-hmm. kind of reenact. And it's probably a model I'm going to now, less the kids talking, but more actually just mm-hmm. just show me what that looks like.
The one I reel off is don't tell me, show me. And the kids are like, start with like, what? Like, I don't understand. You asked me a question, I'm telling you the answer. I was like, no, I want to see the answer. I don't want you to tell me the answer. And it's like, it's creating that link between verbalizing the understanding of the game and showing it.
Mm. I'm going to make a statement here. I think rugby is probably quite a traditional sport. And probably has some quite traditional coaching approaches, whatever that looks like and whatever that means to certain people. But when you added the cards in, what was the impact on the players? Because it is different. You know, we play a lot of games, but playing these sorts of games with cards is maybe a little bit different. What's the impact on the players?
Kind of drawing from a couple of different experiences using them. So we use them in our normal sessions with our guys sort of week in, week out, but also use them in some of the taster sessions we did at local clubs. And I think, pulling on sort of your point of it's quite a traditional game, I think it can be. I think the interesting thing is where you've got players in multiple environments. So you've got them at club, you've got them at school, you know, they may have a representational, you know, academy or county, things like that. And actually the interesting thing is where they link understandings of training between the two. So, you know, some of our players will have those more progressive coaches at club. They've got coaches at their club that are a little bit more, you know, check, challenge, question. And they're far more receptive straight away to those cards and those slightly different challenges. But that's not to say that the players that have never experienced that disengage with it. In fact, actually, sometimes the opposite. Sometimes it's so novel and unique that you just see them light up when they get that sort of slightly different focus. Here is a specific challenge for you. Oh my God, well, like, I'm running around trying to facilitate things for other people. And now I'm, you know, I've got something just for me. Sometimes I think kids like things that are new and that challenge them. So I think it's a good facilitator for that, where you provide the challenge, but also either they've not seen it before or there's so many cards in the deck that they may not have had that one themselves.
Mm. It's interesting how you said don't give a kid a card or pass on that card to someone else and given that ownership. And it's interesting because I think there's two angles to this. One, I think a lot of coaches preach they give ownership to players, mm-hmm. whereas I probably don't think they give as much ownership as they should. Mm-hmm. And then because you're physically given a card to somebody, that individual feels very different, whether mm-hmm. that's the top, middle, bottom individual, whoever it is. And there'd be some players in different environments that don't use the cards that would go through a season or through a program and never have an interaction with the coach. Mm-hmm. And two, never be given a challenge or an individual focus mm-hmm. in a game, which is probably part of the reason we designed them, but it's amazing how they'd go for a year in a program or a season and not be given an individual focus or not mm-hmm. given some ownership or an interaction. That kind of, yeah, it just baffles me. But it's hard, isn't it? Because if you don't do it normally, you just don't know it.
Also, if you don't understand how the whole setup works with regards to repeat, you know, kids coming back multiple times, like what underpins that? It's straight. So my sort of professional background at the moment, at least, is in commercial gyms. And actually there are so many similarities between commercial gyms and sports environments. It sounds obvious because it's physical stuff, but actually they're both membership based setups. And obviously with commercial gyms being commercial and you know a lot of money going through them, more research is done there with sort of business studies and things like that, and there's a guy called a retention guru, and he says there's three main reasons people leave a gym. It's VIP, it's visits, interactions and programming. And if you miss those, then someone stops coming because either they don't know what they're doing, they don't feel that they want to stay there because no one's speaking to them, or they just stop coming. And the other two tend to underpin the first one. And I'm starting to try and pull my learnings from that industry into the sort of community sports setup where, like you say, a card's a great way to nail the interaction and the programming because A, someone's actually spoken to me, someone's interacted with me rather than just whole team stuff. And then the programming actually while I'm here, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I working on? What's my focus? If it's just generalistic team stuff, then yeah, great. But if you don't see those progressions, or if you're not directly involved in passing or tackling that day or whatever it is, because the ball's not where you are, or the session's not being quite set up right, or there's a mismatch, then it's hard to then, even if you are getting interactive with and visiting, actually, if you don't have a direct tie to what you're doing, then that can really be a challenge to people wanting to come back and stay engaged.
Yeah. So just linking to VIP, just give us maybe one example of what the cards would look like with that VIP principle.
So I suppose visits is probably the one that is kind of your goal out of the three of them. Your goal is to get people coming back. So I suppose the cards can facilitate that through an element of that initially, at least, the novel side of things. Actually, I'm interested in seeing what we're playing today because it was fun last time and interesting, or even tying to the reflection cards. You know, if I've sent a card to a player after a training session, you know, what's your focus over the X-Con weeks, or how can a coach support you? Those sort of ones. There's a long-term focus to this, so I will come back to find out what those things are. Interactions, I think, yeah, anytime you use the card as an interaction, it's the act of giving that or utilizing them is providing those opportunities for interactions as you as a coach. It may be in an easier way, you know, you don't have to think of the question, you don't have to deliver it necessarily. You can just give a card, and it's a nice non-verbal way of doing that. And the programming is providing that understanding around to the player why they're there, what they're doing, what they're focusing on. Be it reflection cards, you know, think of a moment where you were awesome today. It's this, and then it's sort of tying that back. Cool, how are you going to make that happen more? You know, it might be a challenge card around, you know, trying to get as many touches on the ball. You know, that's my focus now. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm doing.
I've gone visiting, maybe when they rock up to a session, they have to pick a card, whether that's a reflection card to start a conversation with the coach or whatever players are there, or have to pick up an individual challenge or team players challenge, whatever it might be. And then interaction is the players pick a card either for somebody else on their team.
Nice, creating interactions between players as well. Cool.
Yeah, or for themselves. And then program themed games over a period of time. So kind of Rangers and West Ham, who use the cards, would use them every Friday night in a themed-based game across the whole season. All the points added up. And that's, yeah, across the whole programme. So, yeah, that's what I've gone for there with my VIP, which I'm a big fan of now.
Cool. Yeah. No, I like the concepts. It's nice and easy to come back to and easy to give to other people, like I say, to sort of frame the whole, you know, why are we here? You know, well, what is our outcome of this? It's getting people back as regularly as possible and involved in the sports we're involved in.
Yeah, and let's just talk grassroots a little bit, because obviously that's part of your role. And when you left the Marlow UK Tour date, you took some animal match play cards with you and said they're going to be good fun. So I'm curious as to what that's going to look like. And in that environment of how do you introduce them, or what's your first stop going to be to give them to the coaches?
So grassroots sports are interesting because obviously we work with a lot of volunteers. Like that is our coaching base, is majoritively volunteers. And there's kind of two sides to sort of adopting these new things. I don't want to come in and say, this is why you're doing it, because there's then no buy-in from the coaches to drive that forward themselves, or if it is, it's short-lived. Equally, the other side of that is, it's the same with the VIP. They want to know what they're delivering. They want to understand the program of what they're doing. So actually there is an element of, here, go do this. So what I've done to start with is I've just given it to one of the coaches that I know is very enthusiastic. I've said to her, look, here are these. Talk to her through them a little bit. This is how they're used. I've used similar things before. Just take them, try them out in a couple of sessions, pass them around to other coaches. And then my plan is to sort of follow up on that and do a bit more of a formal, you know, here's how I'd use this, here's how I'd use that, discuss and deliver ideas around best times to use the cards, or best opportunities to use the cards. That way they've kind of had a little bit of a try for it themselves, had an opportunity to look through the cards and understand what they are, rather than just me sort of delivering on sort of specific examples. and then I can go in and sort of say, look, how they been, what's your feedback on them, his opportunities I see for them being really useful and really powerful.
There's something I'm conscious of as well, that you know, you can give too much information sometimes, and you don't want to give too much information. And there's probably two things I always lead with, and it's choose one card that relates to something that you're looking to focus on as a collective, as a team. Because if you're looking at passing, it's easy to just say, okay, here's two cards that relate to passing. So always go for something that's related to a focus you want to develop or focus in on. And then the other one is just choose a player who needs help. Would be just two good starting points for me, that I'd always say to coaches, just start there and then work upwards from that, and you'll begin to see things happen. And if anything, the players will almost guide kind of where you end up going.
Yeah, especially I think creating that interest with the players as well as the coaches. Obviously, they're on the receiving end of those cards. You start handing out a couple of cards with cool images onto a couple of kids, the others are going to want it as well. And, and that develops that interest and that drive to keep using them and keep challenging the players, because it's then driven by them as well.
And particularly the animal ones, I think you can be pretty smart and just let the kids pick, because they are designed in that way to be a little bit more free. And it's all right, just choose two animals that we're going to use today, or you know, themed around some of the stuff, and just letting them have all the cards out. And I'm always interested in what kid goes to what card. And, you know, does Mike pick up this card and then give that to this person or his teammate? Or, you know, I'm always interested in terms of what they pick up and what they say. And that's almost an indicator and a trigger for me to say, all right, let's give this a go, or give that one a go as well. Definitely. Last couple of questions. If grassroots coaches could only do one thing, what would it be? So if they could only do one thing, what would you say to them? Just do this. Apart from use match play cards, obviously. Mike.
So a big one for me, and this is something I tried to do in my coaching, and I think there's a lot of value in it if it's used regularly. And I think maybe also in an area where you've got people that don't necessarily know the best way to do things, so they just talk and deliver information, would be ask questions that you don't know the answers to. So if I'm looking to ask a question, I'll try to ask one that I genuinely don't know the answer to. So it may be a freeze frame, and you know, what were you seeing there? What do you think your best opportunity was in that situation? I don't know that. I can't know that. I'm not in that player situation. I don't have their experiences. I don't have their skill set. It might be something, you know, not based or I don't want to ask questions that are leading. I don't want to, or too many of them at least. Yeah, you use them to facilitate and to move things on, but I don't want to be asking, right, you know, what decision should you have made there to a player that is very clear the answer, and maybe they don't know the answer, but I've got an idea of what the answer is. And then it just becomes a guessing game with the players to try and go, right, what is Mike trying to think of? How do I answer the question he's thinking of, rather than actually I can give something that's a true, honest answer? Because it does two things. It allows the players to self-critique and reflect more, and it allows the coaches to actually coach, not instruct and not deliver. Actually, you are guiding, you're supporting, and you're facilitating the sport rather than delivering. And, you know, there's elements that it's a sliding scale with these questions. You know, the more open questions can be in more tactical environments and potentially more proficient players, and you need more direct questions when there's elements of safety involved and things like that. But I think we forget about that, because sometimes we start at that early age, you know, the low training age, the high safety risk areas, and we don't change our coaching practices as players get more proficient and more able, and we just stick with those leading questions, those closed questions. And I think there's so much more to be brought out of more open questions that we don't necessarily know the answer to ourselves as coaches.
A deck of reflection match play cards could probably help in that respect for a few coaches. We did something with UCFB football at Wembley about 3 weeks ago when I was back in the UK, and around the cards and playing games and adding challenges. And then the coaches that were off who are students. He said, okay, we're going to call them in. You obviously know what you want to say to the group. Mm-hmm. And you obviously know exactly, not exactly, but you have an idea about what has to change in the game for a better result at the end. But we framed it as you can only ask it as a question and mm-hmm. they have to give you the answer. That might take you four questions to get there. Mm-hmm. It might take you 2 minutes of, you know, not much talking. And if they don't answer a question within 5 seconds, it doesn't mean that they don't know the answer. It means they're probably just thinking, which I don't mm-hmm. think is a bad thing. We can often rush the answer to a question. Mm-hmm. But also it forces the coach to have a real idea about why they stop in the game. Mm-hmm. And what question are they going to ask as well? Are they just stopping the game because they think they need to and they're going to shout? Or are they stopping the game because they have a real question that they need the players to say to come out of it?
Yeah, so I've done a similar thing with leaving a game to run. Maybe a co-coach is running the game. It depends on the level. This has worked for me. It's sort of older kids and adults. But pulling just one player out and just standing behind, you know, on the touchline or something like that and just going, what are you seeing? You know, tell me what you're seeing. Because it might be the same as what I'm seeing. It might be something slightly different. But I'm sure either way, it'll give us a good outcome. I'm seeing this. We're defending too tight here, or we're not using the width of the pitch or something like that. It's like, cool. How are you going to feed that information back in? You know, what is it that we're going to change to have that effect? And almost making the player then the coach. So it might be that they've got the opportunity then over the next 5 minutes to deliver that back to the players in play. You know, we don't always get opportunities for stoppages in games. How can you do that in play? Or next huddle, I'd like you to deliver that point. You know, next time we stop, I'd like you to talk about that. Kind of, like you say, about sort of waiting and finding out, you know, we don't want to wait too long, or we don't want to plug gaps when there's an awkward silence. Actually, if you just stood at the side of a pitch, you know, what are you seeing? The player needs some time to think and look at that anyway. So it's not an awkward silence. We expect that silence. Now when we have the huddle, we can be really purposeful about that huddle and deliver the information that the players have seen themselves back into the environment.
Yeah. I want us to wrap up maybe with a bit of a challenge for the coaches that are listening to the teachers. And mine is, I'd love people to try to let the players pick a card for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Whether that's primed with pick a card to challenge a teammate or pick a card to challenge an opposing player or the kid that needs the most help or the new kid or whatever it might be, but the players to pick a card mm-hmm. for somebody else. So that's my challenge for the coaches and the teachers to try this week. What are you going to set the coaches and the teachers?
So this, I suppose, will only work for certain environments and either games and or probably club sport, depending on your environment. But I'd love to see players picking, and this, yeah, there's not all the cards they can use, but picking certain cards. I've got a couple in my head that I'll say, picking cards for parent. So like the commentator one, you know, how engaged are the parents in the situation? How much do they understand about what's going on? Can we involve them more in that? Or we can use the reflection cards and, you know, there might be certain ones in there when, you know, what was the coolest thing you saw today? I think involving parents in the process is massive. Like, kids spend more time with their families than they do any other stakeholder in their lives. So why not get them understanding the way that we're trying to develop and support these guys? I used to get all the parents in, we're talking up to under 18 level, in the huddle after games. You know, I wanted them to hear what we're talking about because they're going to have conversations in a car going home. And the more they understand about the environment, the better questions they can ask in the being supported off the pitch and on the pitch in a cohesive way.
It's absolute gold dust and a good point to finish on. Definitely, Mike, stay in touch, drinking coffee, keep smiling and keep up the amazing work. And yeah, it's wicked, the bit of a journey that we've kind of been on without knowing each other all the way along, but seeing this signpost has been really enjoyable. So thanks so much for getting involved.
No, mate, really appreciate it. I'm excited for you to be back UK side again soon. We'll link up again.